Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. It's great to have you here this afternoon. Just a lovely day here, and I get to share it with my friend Ryan. Ryan, hi.
It's a distinct honor to be in your presence, Joe.
It's wonderful to have Ryan here. I only get him for a couple more weeks, so I'm going to try to be extra nice.
Oh, thank you so much.
Versus those other times when I'm not.
People should know. You listening, you should know that Joe Bender is one of the nicest human beings on this planet Earth. It's a blessing to work with you and to have worked with you.
This is why I like him. He says nice things about me and to me. But really, it's fun to kind of toss things back and forth, especially when he usually looks at the world a little bit differently than I do. So it's fun to have that little relationship that we have here. And plus, he pushes all the right buttons to make me sound very good.
Well, and at least if the wrong buttons are pushed, usually it doesn't sound as bad as it looks.
Yes.
Which is nice on radio.
That's probably true. Well, I'm excited for the show today because, you know, we do a lot of interviews on this program where I'm talking directly to someone who's gone through a period of trial or a period of suffering and ask them how they maintain strength during this time. How do they draw on God when they're really struggling or really suffering? And what was it that allowed them the strength to persevere through? But on today's show, we kind of get to flip that subject on its head and hear from someone who walked through a terminal illness, but from the caregiver's side, from the relationship side, knowing the person who's going through something difficult. And we're going to hear from her because she lost a friend, and during that period of loss, learned so much on how to respond to that person, how to walk with someone who's going through a period of suffering. So it's going to be just a really helpful show for those of us who, if you have not been in that situation where a friend is going through something awful, you'll probably be in that situation at some time and not knowing what to say or not knowing how to help and not knowing what to do. So we're going to try to give you some great information and some great resources on how to do that. You know, I really wish I would have read this book years ago when I had my first experience with a friend who was going through cancer, because as I'm reading this book, I really just want to hit myself in the head many, many times for things that I did that were probably not the right things to do and things that I didn't say that I probably should have said. So we all wonder what we should say, what we should do, and are kind of paralyzed by that thought. So maybe if you're listening today, you'll have some ideas and not have to go through stumbling along like I did. Well, my guest for today says that staying away is really not an option. In fact, she's written a book with her late friend, Kara Tippetts, who lost her battle with breast cancer just 8 months ago. And the book is called Show Up, The Dance of Walking Through Just Show Up, The Dance of Walking Through Suffering Together. So we're going to learn what we can do, what helps, what doesn't help, and when we're walking through that period of suffering with our loved ones. So let me introduce you to my guest. Jill Lynn Butine is the author of Falling for Texas, an inspirational novel. She's also a recipient of the ACFW Genesis Award for her fiction work. She has a bachelor's degree in communications from Bethel University right here in St. Paul. Jill lives near the beautiful Rocky Mountains now with her husband and her two children. You can connect with her on social media at jill-lynn.com, or you can learn more about her on our webpage at myfaithradio.com. Welcome, Jill.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I feel like I've come home to Minnesota.
Well, it's great to have you here. And when I read that you have a degree from Bethel, I thought, well, she could be from Minnesota, or she could have gotten that degree at the Bethel in San Diego, in which case I try not to mention it.
No, it's the right Bethel.
Yay!
So, good.
Yes. So welcome back to Minnesota, and it's great to have you here, and I know you can listen there as well. But what I found amazing is that here you've written this book with your friend Kara, who is no longer with us. It's only been 8 months, and I'm wondering, how did you get to the point where you two decided that you were going to write a book together? How did that all come about?
Well, Kara was writing. She was blogging, and when we met, and I was writing fiction. And so we just happened to be friends who were both writers. And she was a big dreamer. And she would say, we should write a book together. And I would say, okay. And then we tossed around ideas and just kind of had fun with it. And then as she was fighting cancer, this topic came up and it just made sense because she was building this amazing community around her and she was just very gifted at that and at being open. And then I was watching friends do amazing things for her. You were saying you'd done things wrong in the past. Oh my goodness, I've done it all wrong. So I was learning a lot and we just thought this is a subject that needs to be discussed. And it was about last January when we started writing and Kara had just entered hospice care at the time. And so it was kind of a crazy time and we just said, let's get this done. This is important.
Well, and I was surprised to learn as I was reading your book that the two of you had really not been friends for very long before she received her cancer diagnosis. And you write about that point at which you had to decide, am I going to be part of this journey that she's going to be on, or am I going to exit right now? Tell me a little bit about that and what made you decide to take that step forward.
Yes, so they had moved to Colorado Springs to plant a church, and I think they'd been here 6 or 7 months when she got her diagnosis. So we were very new to each other. I liked her. I remember thinking, ooh, we get along, and she was super sarcastic and funny, and so we had that beginning of a relationship. But then when she got her diagnosis, I do remember that feeling of, am I in or am I out? It was a little bit confusing, and I had to wrestle through that. I'm an introvert. I think in the past, it may have been the point where I thought, okay, I'm just going to head in the other direction because I don't know what to do or say. But I had had situations in the past where I did things I regretted and just wasn't there for someone and didn't talk to them when they had something hard going on because I was just so afraid to say the wrong thing. And so for me, it was kind of a decision with Kara that if I see her coming, I'm going to go up to her, I'm going to talk to her, or even just stand next to her. Even if I don't know what to say. And so that's where I started with her. And I didn't know at that point if our friendship would continue to develop or if I was just going to be someone who showed up for her. And, you know, we both continued to pursue a friendship at that point. And so it did grow over the years that she had cancer. But, yeah, it really started with a decision for me. And I do think the Holy Spirit was prompting me to go toward her instead of moving in the other direction.
Well, and as I read the words that you wrote and the words that she wrote, that's quite obvious that there was something drawing you to her. It's just a beautiful story of submitting, really, to that still small voice that you heard that was God moving you toward her. Do you think about that and just what a huge blessing that was to hear it?
Yeah.
You heard it.
Absolutely. And I actually obeyed. I mean, with a little bit of shoving and pushing. But
well,
and I saw people, you know, God meets us in those moments. I didn't know what I was doing, and he met me there.
Well, and you must have felt, I mean, you write about just that awkward feeling of not knowing what to do or say. And as an introvert myself, I can see myself being like, yeah, I'm just going to sit here and be quiet.
Right.
And yet you pushed through that and you made such forward strides. And I'm just wondering, what were you thinking at that time? Were you thinking, am I doing the right thing? Am I saying the right thing? And what kept you going?
Yeah, I think you always wonder when you're doing this because there aren't perfect answers of what to say and do. And that's why we call it a dance because you're just trying to figure it out. And what works one day doesn't always work the next day. And so with that awkwardness, I think you just have to move into it. For me, I kind of look at it like fear. When I fear something, that doesn't mean I don't do it anyway. And the fear doesn't always go away for me. And I don't think that the uncomfortableness really goes away in suffering and in walking with someone. It's just a hard situation, and that's why we do head in the other direction. But when we just choose to move towards someone, it gets a little bit easier the more you do it. It's sort of like practicing, I think. But I don't think it ever gets easy. I think it's just something we have to continue to choose to do and to choose that person.
So you had writing in common, you had some children in common and a community in common, but you also had your faith in common. How did that play into the decision to walk through this time of suffering with her?
Yes, my faith changed so much watching Kara. I think when I had gone through hard things in the past, it sort of made me doubt that God was good. I don't think I ever doubted that God was real and that he existed. But you just sort of begin to question, does he really love me if I'm going through something like this? And with Kara, I mean, she was just shouting so boldly, God is still good, even in the midst of my suffering. That does not change who he is. And she just clung to that, and she talked about it so much, and it began to change something in me as a friend. I feel like it gave me permission to say, you're right, he is still good, and that is biblical. And I don't need to believe the lies the world is putting out that say he's not. She was just very big about saying, we don't know the whole story. We need to trust him beyond what we understand of this earth.
Well, and she wrote about that a lot in her own blogging, correct? How did that kind of get you started and grow that community that you're talking about that she was able to build?
Yeah, she blogged so very honestly about what she was going through, and I think that's what connected people to Kara. She had a strong faith, and she didn't deny that, but she struggled. I mean, she had her diagnosis changed to be a terminal diagnosis, and so she was just open about how she felt and when she had rough days, and people connected with that because she would say that truth of, this is really hard, and then she would say, but I trust God anyway. Mm-hmm. And people were drawn to that. And I think it gave so many people courage to do the same thing. Because, I mean, oh, man, so many people are fighting cancer and have other illnesses and diseases that are extremely hard. And they would come to her blog and just feel this connection of, yeah, this woman gets what I'm going through.
Mm. Well, the book is called Just Show Up, The Dance of Walking Through Suffering Together. My guest today is Jill Lynn Butine and her friend Kara Tippetts, who had lost her battle with cancer. The two of them wrote this book together and has just some really great practical tips on how to help someone who's going through a time of suffering. We're going to get into some of those practical matters coming up on Connecting Faith. For now, if you're listening in and you would love to have a copy of this book, or maybe you have a story to share as well, you can give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. We can either get your question on the air or make sure we get this book in the hands of someone who needs it. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. My guest today is Jill Lynn Butine. She's the author of Just Show Up, The Dance of Walking Through Suffering Together. And one of the things that you write about, Jill, is the title of your book, Just Show Up, that sometimes you can't sit and ponder what it is that you should be doing or what it is that you should be saying, and you should just show up. Why is presence so important when you're helping a friend who's suffering?
Presence is so important because most of the time we really cannot fix our friend or person's suffering. It's hard to be around someone when they're suffering because we want to make it better. Kara was in a lot of pain, and that was hard. It was hard to see her like that. And so there were many times that we sat with her and we didn't necessarily have perfect words. I often said to Kara, I don't know what to say. When she got bad news or bad results, I would say, I don't know what to say, but I love you, and, you know, I want to be here for you. And so just sitting with someone is so, so important. And I think we need to remind ourselves that we don't have to have some perfect Bible verse or perfect phrase to brighten or encourage them. You being there is very important, and it means something.
Well, in fact, of course, having the right Bible verse or the right thing to say sometimes makes us say things that really weren't right. And you have a whole chapter on how sometimes, well, it just made me cringe, some of the things that Kara and her husband would hear from people who meant well but ended up really kind of hurting them. What's your advice on that?
I do think that's because it comes from a place of love. We want to say something wonderful, and so we go ahead and try to do that. But sometimes when we're trying to encourage, it can come across as like a Christian platitude where we say something like, but look what God is doing. He's doing great things, and he must have a reason for you to be going through this trial. He's going to make you stronger, or even he won't give you more than you can handle. That's another one that people love to say. And the way I looked at it was from my perspective. So as I was walking with Kara, when her diagnosis changed, it was very tough. You know, it's just hard to accept, and it just was emotional. And I would have people say to me, look what God is doing through Kara. She is touching so many lives. I mean, she's blogging. She's writing The Hardest Piece at the time. It's amazing. He's doing amazing things. And they were right. That's the truth. God was doing amazing things through Kara, but I didn't want to hear it. And I would walk away from those encounters almost wounded, because what I wanted in that moment was just some empathy. I wanted a hug, and I wanted someone to say, I'm so sorry. I'm sure this is incredibly hard to watch your friend suffer. And I love you, and I'm praying for you and Kara. That's what you want to hear in those moments. And we just have to try not to solve the problem or fix it, our friend's suffering. And that is just something that's hard to stop ourselves from doing.
It's true. If you, if we just stopped at the words, I'm so sorry, period, and then gave a hug, it seems like some of that damage would not be done. Instead of trying to come up with a solution, like you said, not everything is fixable, and not everything needs to be fixed, but recognizing where that person is at that time seems to be what's going to be most helpful for them.
Right, exactly. And we can stop ourselves after saying, I'm so sorry. That counts, and the hug counts. Those are important things.
Even in the praying, I know I love just the times that I've been suffering where someone will call to see how I'm doing, and they, instead of saying, well, I'll be praying for you, they say, let me pray for you right now. And how much that means for someone to take that time to do that, unless, of course, they say something like, thank you for not giving Joe more than she can handle. And then I'm like, stop. You should have stopped. But then you're right. You just have to look at, well, this came from their heart. They're trying to help. And it's true. Good things are happening. But I just wanted to hear someone pray for me. And so, what kind of advice can you give for that, as far as praying for people who are suffering, or people who are suffering by watching their friends suffer like you were?
I do think prayer is important, and I don't want to downgrade that at all. There is a story that happened with Kara when she was going through her first round of chemo, and a couple at church came up to her and they said, what are the hardest times of day for you? And she said, morning and night. And one of them said, I'll take the morning, and the other said, I'll take night. And I think it was even a specific time of day. And I love that story, because that is amazing. And in those hard moments when Kara would wake up and think, oh, no, I have cancer in my body, or was trying to fall asleep, she knew that those two people were praying for her. And that's beautiful. I love what you said, too, about just stopping and praying right then. Sometimes I do that when I say, like, even if I'm online or something, okay, I'll pray for you. I often stop and do it right then, because I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to say, I'll pray for you, and not mean it. I want to stop in that moment and actually pray for someone.
Even email prayers or text prayers that I would receive from people, it warms your heart knowing that someone took the time to do that. And then I have it in writing as well, so I can go back and I can look and just know that that prayer went to God and is continuing to go to him as well.
And those are nice too, because they are not asking anything of you in your suffering. You know, you're busy, you're in crisis mode. So sending a text or an email that doesn't even need to be replied to and was a prayer, that's a great way to do that.
Well, what are some other ways that we can offer help to people? You write about how we need to be specific. If we're going to offer some help, we need to be specific in what that help is, rather than this blanket, well, call me if you need anything.
Yes, absolutely. So I was the person who said, call me if you need anything, or let me know what I can do. I actually had said that to a friend right before Kara was diagnosed. So anyway, I just like make fun of myself for it now. But we mean so well when we say that, we mean it. But when someone is in crisis mode and they're suffering, sometimes they don't even know the answer to that question themselves. They're not necessarily looking around their house and thinking, this needs to get done. So if we can offer something specific, One, it helps them know that we really mean it and that we're willing to do that thing. So then they're not having to ask us, hey, would you come and help me with laundry when that's something that we just have no desire to do? You can help within your gifting when you offer something specific. And it makes it easier for the person to accept. So if I said, okay, can I come and get your laundry on Wednesday? I'm going to do it at my house and drop it off on Thursday. That's specific. And then they might say, but I'm an extrovert and I want people. Can you come and do the laundry at my house? You know, it just gives them the ability to tweak it.
Well, I remember a time when I was laid up for an incredible amount of time, and my mother, I had arranged everything because I'm an administrator at heart. And so I had every T crossed, every I dotted. And my mother-in-law said, what can I do? And I said, I don't know. I've got everything taken care of.
Yeah.
And she said, I've got it. I'm hiring someone to come and clean your house and change all your beds once a week. And I'm not taking no for an answer. That's what I'm doing. And I thought, that is the most wonderful gift in the entire world, because I would never ask even you, my close friend, to come over and change the sheets on my bed. I would never ask it. And yet she thought of that and made it happen. And it was something specific. You're right. And I could tweak the day or the time or whatever it is that I wanted to tweak. But it was going to happen, because I would never ask for help for that. I just never would.
And I love that she said, you can't, I'm not taking no for an answer. I'm doing this. And sometimes when we have, you know, a stubborn friend, like I might be, we do have to do that to them. We have to say, I am going to drop off a meal.
Right.
I can drop it on your step, and that's fine. We don't even have to see each other, but this is happening. Because some of us have trouble accepting help, and I am absolutely one of those people. But I've learned so much from watching Kara accept help. I mean, that's part of why her community was built in the way it was, is because she was willing to let us in. I mean, we did change sheets at her house and things that I'm sure she never expected anyone to do or to ask anyone to do, but you just kind of blow past all of that surfacey stuff because you are doing the hard of life together. And you just get to the point where you're like, okay, we are going to come clean your house or whatever it is. Mm-hmm.
Well, and you do, as you're doing things in your own house or for your children or even making meals, it does make you think, how could I do this if I were in pain? And if you ever say, this would be difficult for me to do in pain, that's one thing that you should offer to a friend who's suffering.
That's a great, great point.
Well, I'm talking to Jill Lynn Butine today. She's written a great book called Just Show Up, The Dance of Walking Through Suffering Together. And we're going to hear more practical tips on how we should be helping, how we can be helping our friends who are suffering, whether it's a friend or a loved one or someone in your own family. What are some great, easy ways in order to offer help and assistance, to offer prayer and encouragement as well? We'll be talking with Jill more when we come back on Connecting Faith. We still have a couple of her books to give away. You can give us a call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-FAITH. Or shoot us a question or comment, and I will try to get that to Jill as we have the conversation with her coming up in just a minute. Connecting Faith, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I'm Joe Bender, and my guest today is Jill Lynn Butine. She's written a great book called Just Show Up, The Dance of Walking Through Suffering Together. And she wrote this book, co-authored it with her friend Kara Tippett, who unfortunately lost her battle with cancer just 8 months ago. But while she was still living, both Jill and Kara decided to put their thoughts down on paper as to what it means to suffer, what it means to find and receive God's strength during that time of suffering, and what it means to be a friend and a strong have a strong relationship during that time, what we can do for and say to our friends who are going through a difficult time. So it's just a great practical guide on what do we say if our friends are suffering, or if they're in pain, or if they're inflicted with a terminal disease, which of course is a long-term suffering. So Jill, one of the things that I loved about one of the sections of your book, I thought really hit me, was this little circle. I'm going to call it a wheel for lack of a better term, where you talk about who it's okay to kind of complain to, or who it's okay to just unleash your feelings to when you're having a hard time as the caregiver to someone who's in pain. And I want you to talk a little bit more about that, because sometimes we do need to kind of unleash our feelings or vent a little bit on the frustration or the sadness that we're feeling. And we shouldn't be doing that to the person who's suffering, correct?
Correct. There were moments where I think people would turn to Kara and kind of say, this is really hard. It's hard for me to see you suffer. And the point of this graph or wheel or whatever you want to call it is you really want to comfort in. So I always wanted to be a comfort to Kara. I did not want to complain to her about her suffering being hard on me. But the truth was, it was hard to see her suffer. So then I would turn out to an outer circle. So like Kara would be in the middle of the circle, and then I'd maybe be a ring out or something like that. Family would be the closest to her. And then I would turn out to a group of girlfriends that I had that were kind of from a different world or outside of my Kara circle. And I could dump out to them when it was a tough day. I'm so sad. It hurts to see her in pain. And, you know, it's just painful. It saved me. I mean, I don't know how many times this has saved me. There was this one moment, I talk about it in the book, where Kara's husband, Jason, was in the parking lot and at school, and he looked worn or tired or whatever it was and just sad. And I was about to say, this is so hard on all of us. And I stopped myself because of this, and I thought, no, this is hard on him. Hmm. This is Kara's husband. He is the closest. I don't even count in this moment. And I said, this is so hard on you, and I'm sorry, or something like that. I just was so thankful for that. I mean, I know I would have been forgiven in that moment, and life would have gone on, but it was just, it really saved me.
Well, and there must have been times, though, that the two of you could kind of commiserate together as well, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And Kara was great, too, about wanting to know what was going on in our lives. She would always say that she did not want to win at having the hardest heart. So we had hard stuff going on. She wanted to hear about it, and she asked about it. So it's not that you can't ever talk to your person about what's going on in your life. It's more that you don't want to complain to them about what's their suffering, if that makes sense.
About what their suffering is doing to you.
Yes, exactly.
Well, and I'm sure she did want to be involved in what's going on with your children and hers and what's going on, you know, in the world, and not be cut off from all of that. And so you did have kind of a delicate dance that you had to perform to be up and be a source of information and a source of encouragement as well. So where did you draw your strength from then?
You know, I think God he shows up for you in these moments, because you look back and think, how did we do this? And how do you do this? And I just think it's grace. Every day shows up. And that was a big thing that Kara would say. Every day she looked for the grace, and it's there. And he meets us in these moments. And then, you know, there were circles around me who would show up for me and say, hey, I'm praying for you. They might not have known Kara, but they knew me, and they knew I was going through this with her. And so that's where it becomes kind of this amazing community of, we each have our community around us, and they're supporting us.
Well, and being that close to Kara, I'm sure that you were close with a lot of her family members as well. I know many people listening today have maybe had a family member who has lost someone, or even a close friend who's lost someone, and we even don't know what to say to those people who are closest to us. What is an appropriate thing to say to someone who has lost someone? Like, what would have been said to you that would have brought you comfort?
You know, that's a good question, because I still have this thought. If someone loses someone, I still think, I don't know what to say. I think we just want to try to comfort. So honestly,
back to I'm sorry.
Always come back to that. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you're going through this. I'm sorry you've lost this person. And someone made this suggestion the other day, which I really loved. They said, if you ever want to talk about them, I'd love to hear about them.
Oh.
Because we assume people don't want to talk about the person they've lost, but often that's not true. They would love to talk about it and talk about that person and have those memories. So maybe just being willing to listen in those moments is a good thing.
Well, and you bring up such a great point, is we don't often think of just being present to listen. We think about all the things that we should say and that we have to be offering encouragement with these words or coming up with great scripture. And what some people might really need is just to talk. And we just need to offer to do that.
Exactly.
It takes the pressure off. Just listen. And then you don't have to think about all of the responses that you have to say. And so that seems like an easy way. And yet it doesn't come very naturally. At least to people who are talkers.
It doesn't. Well, there's an awkwardness in that silence. We just want to fill it. I remember this moment in the hospital. So Kara would have sleepovers because she was Kara. And us girls, we would take turns sleeping at the hospital with her so that Jason could be home with the kids. And there was just this one moment where I think the TV was on. We had talked about the book we were writing at the time. And then we were just quiet. And that was near the end. And I still had to remind myself, you do not need to fill this silence. Mm-hmm. You do not need to tell a story about someone else who's going through something hard. That's another thing we do, I suppose, because it just pops into our head. But yeah, so I think you just have to keep coaching yourself. Silence feels weird, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
And that is another way that we try to relate with people, is it does pop into our head. Well, maybe this story would help them to know that I understand. And so we share all of these stories. And yet, is it better to kind of keep the focus or keep the conversation on the two of you?
I think so. Well, I always try to think, keep it on them as much as you can. Because even if you know a similar story from someone else, this is their story. And it's so important to them and so impacting in their life. So, but, you know, the other thing is, I hope people don't feel discouraged. I want people to feel encouraged that, you know, we're not always going to say and do the right thing, but still choosing to be there for someone is so important. I mean, we did a lot of stuff wrong. We joke about some of the things. I have a list in the book of things that we said that were just like, oh, my goodness, what were we thinking? But my point is that it's better to be there for someone, to say something, to go toward them, than to hide and go in the other direction because we're so afraid to do something wrong. You just are going to make mistakes. But the people who are suffering, from what I've heard from them, they still would rather have us there than heading in the other direction.
And yet our knee-jerk reaction seems to be, well, maybe they're suffering and they need their space, or maybe we don't want to bother them. How can we push past that?
Well, and some people, you know, you have to think about your person's personality. Kara was an extrovert. She loved having people around. And so that always factored into our decisions. I probably wouldn't want tons of people around. But, you know, you can still show up for those people that maybe say, I don't want anyone right now in my house. You can leave a meal on the step. I mean, the Tippetts ended up putting out a cooler because, you know, sometimes Kara was sleeping for the first time all day, or, you know, they were having family time or whatever it was. And so many people were taking them meals. And so they put a cooler outside and it just simplified things. So in your situation, it's always going to be unique to that person of how you can kind of be there for them, whether that means you're there physically or you're just doing something for them.
Mm-hmm. You know, Kara shared so much in the book about what it's like to struggle through this disease, but she also writes about how her relationships with other people were really essential to her strength. What was particularly evident to you when you watched her interact with her family and with her loved ones as to how her faith was getting her through?
You know, she would definitely have bad days, but even on those bad days, she always looked for grace. She always believed that God was going to meet her, that he had the strength, even when she didn't. And it was just obvious. And also, she worked so hard to be kind and selfless, even in her suffering. I mean, I think when I'm sick, oh, my goodness, I'm horrible. Horrible to be around. And she knew that about herself, that she would struggle with that. One of the first things she did was go to the pastoral staff at our church and ask them to pray that she would be kind in her sickness, kind to her children. And she really, I think her faith carried her through in that way because she was kind and she was very selfless. I mean, when we were hanging out with her, she would ask us about what was going on in our lives. She still wanted to be present as much as she could in everybody's lives.
Well, the way that she wrote, it's just beautiful. And it did seem as if she was trying to maintain those relationships during the time that she had and that she knew. And sometimes I wonder if that breadth of understanding is so much larger for the person who's dealing with it themselves than for us as outsiders who are looking in and having such a more difficult time accepting what's happening. Did you find that to be true with Kara?
Well, it felt like, okay, she can make the decision to have this faith because it's happening to her. But as a friend, it's harder. You just think, this is happening to her, and I can't do anything about it. And so you don't know what your decision would be in that moment. And I think we gave Kara the room for that to be her faith. But then she did change us, too, as we surrounded her.
So as you look at your faith, you talked a little bit about how it changed during that time. How about as you look back at the experience that you've gone through from the beginning time of knowing Kara to right now, how has your faith kind of changed and grown during that experience?
Well, I mentioned that I felt like it has increased in that I really have learned to trust God even when I do not understand what he's doing. I don't know why Kara had to go to heaven at the age of 38. I don't know. But it has allowed me to say, I am going to trust him anyway, even when I don't understand it.
Well, that's a gift. It's a gift for all of us to be able to hear your story. So thanks so much for sharing that with us. We're going to take a quick break. And I do want to make sure that if someone's listening today and they've got a friend who's maybe going through some suffering with their family, a family member or a loved one, that you can get this last copy that we have of Jill Lynn's book. You can give us a call at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. And it's just a beautiful story written both by Jill and by Kara, and has some wonderful insight on how to help people who are going through a time of suffering or a terminal illness, or people who are just really standing firm on their faith. It will be an encouragement to any of you who are looking for that type of book. So give us a call, 877-93-FAITH, and we'll be right back with a conversation, more conversation with Jill.
You rescued me, and I believe that God is love, and he is all I need from this day forth for all eternity. I'll never wander on my own, for I am yours until you call me home. I close my eyes, and I can hear you say, you're not alone.
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Thanks so much for joining us today. We are talking about being not alone. We're hearing the story of Kara Tippetts, who went home to be with the Lord after a battle with cancer. And she wrote about not being alone many, many times, not being alone because she was with her Heavenly Father, but also not being alone because she had her very good friend Jill Lynn Butine with her, who has written a book with Kara to talk about that journey together and how to kind of walk with someone through suffering. The book is called Just Show Up. And Jill, one of the things that you and Kara write about is this big love. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, it was a Kara, that was a Kara-ism. She kind of had her own language. And big love for her, and really for all of us, just became about loving outside of ourselves and our own strength and loving with the love God has for us. And Kara was so, like I mentioned, so selfless, and she was great about loving us and still caring about what was going on in our lives and being kind to her children. And she just stressed kindness, kindness, kindness every moment of life. And so I actually have it written in my kitchen that love is kind. And it was just something she talked about all the time and has really impacted so many of our lives to stop what we are doing, to get down on our knees and talk to our children and to be kind to them in the moment when kindness is the last thing that we are thinking about.
You know, so many people read, of course, her blog, but she had also written a book called The Hardest Piece. Can you tell us how her family is doing now and maybe the ways that we could pray for them, any of our listeners?
Yes, so many people are praying for them, and I just want to say thank you for that because I know people love the Tippetts and followed her story and care so much about the kids. They're definitely doing well for what they've been handed. And I think that God has continued to meet them in these moments of grief that they're obviously processing right now. The nice thing is that Jason, her husband, has continued to do some guest blogging or blogging on her site, Mundane Faithfulness. And so he talks about the kids. He's talked about his own grief and taking off his wedding ring. And he's just been very open. So I always suggest to people when they want to know what's going on with the Tippetts that that's a great place to catch up with them and see how to pray and see what's going on.
And, you know, speaking of children, I know it's hard to know what to say to adults who are going through times of suffering. It's double that for knowing what to say to children who've lost a parent. Do you have any wisdom you could share in that area?
You know, I think a hug is worth a lot of words. It's better than a lot of words in those moments. And kids are still kids, so they are still going to run and play and laugh and just be children. So a hug, I'm thinking about you, I care about you, or tease them, you know, have fun with them. Just be present in their lives.
That's such a good reminder to just have fun with them. We do this to our adult friends as well. Maybe we don't want to invite them to something that's too fun. We start treating them with these kid gloves, like we don't want to break them or hurt them or invite them to something that might be painful for them. And from what you write in the book, you're saying that that's not what you should do, but in fact, continue to bring them into your lives the way that you always would have, even if their life looks a lot different right now.
Right. And be okay if they have to say no to something. I mean, don't get offended, but keep inviting them. We had this situation with Tara where she was big about having coffee at her house and she would have everyone over. And we had a mom come back to visit, and we planned a coffee at someone else's house because Kara was sick and in a lot of pain and usually in bed. And Kara caught wind of it, and she was like, hey, I want to be there. She did not want to be excluded. And, oh, we felt so horrible. Of course we want her there. So she said, have it at my house. If I can't get out of bed, I can't get out of bed. That's fine. And so, yeah, we learned that lesson. Keep including your person. And even if they have to say no, it just shows them you still love them, you're still thinking about them, and give it, you know, back to them so it's their choice.
You know, that reminds me of the one thing that I've learned is to have really short visits, to know that the length of time you spend with a person is not going to determine how meaningful it is to them, but that if you're suffering on medication, if you're going through chemo especially, that your ability to focus and to be up, just physically up, that window is so small so that short visits might be important. Did you find that to be true as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's because you want to see the person usually that's suffering too. You miss them. I mean, you're losing pieces of this person a little bit at a time when they are suffering. And so, yeah, you want to see them and they usually want to see you, but the short visit is perfect because you can say, hey, I love you. I'm here for you, but you're not becoming a drain on them.
And she probably at some points just said, okay, I'm going to go lay down now.
Oh, she absolutely. I mean, she was, yes. But she also, I would always try to make her go lay down. You just go lay down. Are you tired? What's going on? She's like, I'm fine, because she would stay until the last moment that she could not handle it anymore.
Why was it so important for her to finish this book while she was still alive?
Well, she was stubborn. I mean, I loved that about her. And she just wanted to keep living life as much as she could. She seized every moment. And so I think writing for her, you know, when you're a writer, writing makes you happy. And it's just in you. You can't not write. And so I think she just, wanted to keep writing and keep living in that way. And I also think she could see that this was a gap that needed to be filled mm-hmm. for people. She knew people loved her and wanted to be there for her. And so she just wanted to help others know how to do that for each other.
Well, and that's why the book is so great, because it does give us permission. It gives us permission to be uncomfortable and yet still move forward. It gives us permission to feel like I don't know what to say and yet still figure out something to say, whether it's I'm sorry or give a hug. And you are writing just so honestly, and she is too, and just so openly about what helps, what doesn't help, but what the line that just seems to go throughout the entire book is do something. Don't do nothing.
Exactly. Do something. The little things matter. You know, a cup of coffee, even like you said, the text that says, hey, I'm praying for you, or here's the prayer. Those things matter. And I think we tend to downplay them and think, oh, I don't know what to do, so I won't do anything at all. But do something. And it doesn't have to be huge. The little things matter.
So now that you've written the book, you've been talking about the book and kind of doing some interviews and things, what have you found to be the results or the impact that this book has had on people who not only knew you and, or knew Kara and know you, but who don't?
I think I have heard that it has been encouraging to people. Even an interviewer the other day, she said to me, I did something that I would not normally have done because of this. And that just made my day, because that's what we want to hear, is that people are moving toward each other. And, you know, it, like you said, it gives permission for you to do it even when you're uncomfortable or you don't know what you're doing. And that's, we just want to encourage people in that way.
Well, and it's, there's great advice here for people who are going through a variety of things. If you just have to go to a funeral, or you have to, you know, help someone who just has a child who's sick. I mean, there are multiple situations that the advice you've given can apply to, not just someone who's suffering from a terminal disease.
Yes. I think we're so, well, I'm personally bad at letting people into my life. And we all have stuff going on. It could be depression or a tough marriage or, like you said, a sick kid. And we have to learn to let each other in, because really that's what Christ would want us to be doing with each other, is entering each other's lives and being there for each other.
Well, and it's such an opportunity, really, that a gift that you're almost giving someone who has that desire to help and to serve. You wrote about giftedness, and some people have that mercy and encouragement gift and acts of service. And I don't know why that never showed up in me. God did not give me those, but I'm grateful that there are people in my life who have them. And so to give them opportunity to use them, it is really a blessing for them as well. And sometimes we don't think about that. We want to just do everything ourselves and not give someone the opportunity to help. And you must have found that to be true as well.
Oh, man. I'm horrible at accepting help. Horrible. And when I watched Kara, I thought, oh, that's how you do it. I mean, she just was great about letting people in. I realized as I was watching all of this happen that if we do not let someone help us, we are stealing their joy. Mm. So Kara letting us in was a gift to me. I got to love on her. I got to love on her children. And that brought me so much joy. It was such a gift that she let us in that way. And we, some of us, have to work on letting other people into our lives in that way. The other day, a friend offered to bring me a meal. My son was sick, and I kept thinking, but I don't need it. I can't, you know, I'm not sick, and I can do it. And then she just texted me back, and she's like, I know you're trying to figure out how to get out of this, but I'm doing it. So, well, and I loved that day. It was a great day.
Well, Jill Butine, you have just blessed us all with putting this book together and encouraging all of us that even if we've messed up in the past, that there's still hope to do something in the future that's going to help someone who's suffering. So blessings on you, and we're just so sorry for your loss. I just want to say that on behalf of all of us at Faith Radio and everyone who's listening today. And just God bless you as you continue to enlighten all of us with your wisdom.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And if you are ever suffering, I'm going to come and make all of your beds. Okay? You can't can't take no for an answer. I'm going to come to Colorado. I'm going to try and help you. Okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, Jill. Have a great day, everyone.